we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
It is a Monday morning in Brevard County, the middle of May. What a great time to be living in Brevard County, Florida. That's what I have to say. And if you've got a different opinion, I can't hear you. So my name is Bob Arthurs, and I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. And you are listening to the Refresh Radio broadcast. We want to say thank you for tuning in this fine Monday. And we are looking forward to all that God has in store for us this week. We trust that you had a wonderful Mother's Day. You got to spend some time with the ladies in your life and call your mom if you have that opportunity, or spend some time with her. One of the things that we like to do is FaceTime. And, you know, technology has really helped a lot in being able to keep in touch. We got to spend time with my wife and daughters, and our daughter-in-law, her first Mother's Day. As a mom last year, she was carrying our grandson, and so we are glad that she got to experience that. It's hard to believe that a year has gone by that quickly. And, you know, I've got this rule. You know, my daughter was listening with me to the television or to a radio program the other day as we were on our way to our son's house for dinner. And she said, "What are they talking about?" And I told them what the people on the radio program were listening to. And she said, "Why?" And I said, "Well, that's what you do when you get paid X millions of dollars for having a nationally syndicated radio program." And she's like, "Oh my goodness!" And so we were on our way over there for dinner. Got to spend some time with her, and it was a great time. So, ladies, I hope you had a wonderful Mother's Day. We honor all of the women in our life, and truly are blessed because they are gifts from God. He who finds a wife finds a good thing, and make sure that you avail yourself of the opportunities that you have to have fellowship with them. We are promoting pretty heavily our 65th anniversary service. I read an article where something like 200 churches a month close. There's a number of churches that start. That's just here in America, 200 churches a month. And I know that churches start and there's mega churches and they have all sorts of satellite campuses. But you see, when I came to Merritt Assembly of God, there was a lot of talk about closing the church. There were people that wanted to tear down the building and sell the property. And there were, people who just thought that they should sell it. It wasn't an easy situation. But you see, God had spoken to me, and he said that he was in the business of building churches, not closing churches. And so it always pains me to hear when churches are closing. And some have said, why are we celebrating 65th anniversary? It's not our 50th, not our 75th or anything like that. And it's like, because we're a living legacy to the supernatural provision of God. And we are thankful for faithful men and women, some of whom never set foot in a single service in our church, but God used them to bless the church in a powerful way. And so we've had ministers that have been raised up. We've had tremendous saints of God that have been raised up. And so we are blessed to be able to have a number of them have shared their testimonies with us through the years. And so we're thankful for every boy, every girl, every man, every woman that had the opportunity to hear the gospel, give their heart to Jesus, and become a trophy of God's grace. So that's why we're here. If it wasn't for people who had been faithful to build a building, then my job would have been much more challenging. It would have been much more difficult. And so I honor those who've gone before us. And so we are celebrating what God has done. We're gonna try and celebrate the fool out of it. that's just a Bob expression. But we're gonna have a great weekend. But we also like to remember those anniversaries, and we like to use them to set the stage for future events. And so we've got Jerry Hill, whose husband Steve Hill was the evangelist that God used mightily to bring hundreds of thousands of souls into the kingdom of God. And now she is traveling, preaching the same words, seeing the same miracles. And we are blessed to be able to have her come and be a part of what God is doing. She's going to be with us on Saturday night and Sunday morning. And we are praying that God would move mightily. And so if you're in need of a refreshing, if you're in need of a touch of revival, if you need God to just take you to the next stage in your Christian development, we encourage you to come out and be a part of that June 10th, June 11th, 6:30 Saturday night, 10:30 Sunday morning. And let the love of God touch you and change you for his glory. So we're going to get into the word today. I want to remind you once again about our sponsors, Creative AC Solutions, Jits Concrete, and Wyrick Air Heat and Electric. If you need AC work, if you need electrical work, if you need concrete work or block work done, those are the people to call. They do a great job, and we recommend them highly. So if you'd like more information about them, give us a call, and we will be glad to share with you how you can get in touch with them. Let's get into Isaiah 62 today, shall we? For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until her righteousness goes forth as brightness and her salvation as a lamp that burns. Okay, I want to read verse number one more time, and then we're going to drop down to verse number six. For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until her righteousness goes forth as brightness and her salvation as a lamp that burns. Now look at verse number six. I have set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They shall never hold their peace day or night. You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent and give him no rest till he establishes, until he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. What I noticed about that was the parallel between verse number one, God's behavior, and verse number six and seven, where it is describing the watchman that God wants to position on the walls of Jerusalem. Watchmen were positioned so that they could be alerted to any potential threat that was coming. You know, God had set himself up in his behavior to make Jerusalem and the people of Judah a shining forth in brightness and righteousness and salvation, and that they would impact the nation. Now he positions watchmen. They were like the sentries, you know, and they would, you know, we would probably have something like that. It would be like our security system or our satellite system that keeps an eye outside of our area to make sure that if there is a threat that's coming, that we are well aware of it. Now, watchmen had a responsibility. Once they identified a threat, they had to decide whether they were going to notify people of the threat or not notify people of the threat. And if there was a threat that came and the watchman did not notify the people, God said, I'm going to hold you responsible for the devastation and the destruction that came because you did not warn the people. Now, if the watchman did make the announcement and they did not prepare The people chose not to prepare, and they were devastated and destroyed. God said, I'm going to hold them accountable for their own blood. The watchman's job was to sound the alarm whenever there was action that was required on behalf of the people. And God said, I'm looking for a specific type of person that I can set up in, you know, in not just all by themselves. It's the term is watchmen. It is plural. It says, I have set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They were placed there by God. Listen, when preachers preach the word of God and they sound the alarm on sinful behavior, it is not because we are being mean or cruel or harsh. It is because we are trying to sound the alarm that danger is at the door, that destruction is at hand, and there is a response that is required of us. And so he says, I have set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. And listen, when God positions someone, he does it for a purpose. He does it for a reason. He knows that the enemy is very real in our lives. He knows that the enemy goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He knows that the devil will go around looking for a foothold in a person's life, but he has no intention of that being the only ground he takes. He is just looking for an access portal into your life, and God wants to position watchmen in your life and in my life. And I pray that you are walking in your relationship with God, that you can both serve as a watchman and you can have watchmen who are looking out for your behalf. I had a conversation with my office manager a week ago. And I said, I want you, and now she's worked for me a long time. Her husband is my best friend. I have best friends in the ministry, and I have, you know, best friends, and he would be my best friend here in Brevard County. And so I went up to her and I said, I want you to practice saying these words, Pastor, you might be wrong. and I'm not telling her that because I want to be wrong. I just want to have a watchman in my life that knows me and that I have empowered to speak into my life in a manner that I will recognize as not condemnation, but in God using that person. And so I trained her to say, Pastor. And if she says Pastor in just that, excuse me, certain tone of voice, then I'm going to know that I need to make sure that I'm on the alarm, because there's something going on that I might not be manifesting the right attitudes. So I want to ask you, do you have watchmen in your life? You see, one of the most dangerous positions that people can come to is when they are isolated from other people in the body of Christ. If you become isolated, then you are going to end up doing what they did in the Old Testament, where every man did what was right in his own eyes. We are in a society right now that wants to do away with all sorts of standards, and they will try and use anecdotal evidence to undermine the need for standards. And I want you to know that there may be exceptions to the rule from time to time, but for the most part, we need to know what the standards are. I was in retail for 11 years consistently, and I had another stretch in it as well. And as long as the price was a standard price, I did pretty well. But I did a short stint, about 3 months, in an industry where the prices were not fixed. They were negotiable. There were all sorts of guidelines, and I did not do well in that because I wanted to treat people the same way. And to be honest with you, there were salesmen that had the same guidelines that I had, and they just chose to ignore them, and they would end up making sales, and then they would get pats on the back. In the meantime, I wouldn't get the sales. I just like a good standard. I like having people in my life that can say, hey, you know, we want to make sure that you are walking the way that you know that we know that you want to walk in the path of God. So let's look at these watchmen. How did they behave? Verse number 8 says, they shall never hold their peace day or night. Look back at verse number 1. For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. If you are a watchman, you are not going to swallow your tongue. You are going to be like the town crier. You are going to be sounding the alarm whenever there is an alarm. I lived in Oklahoma, and we had a number of devastating tornadoes that blew through our town when I was young. On my brother's 13th birthday, one landed in our neighborhood. It was within probably 100 to 150 feet of our home. And we were outside looking at the clouds in the backyard, not realizing that a tornado was on the ground pretty much in the front yard. Fortunately, it was moving the opposite direction. I tell our congregation, I said, if you don't have anything to praise God for, I want you to praise him in faith, because when we get to heaven, we're going to find that he protected us from a lot of damage and a lot of things that the devil wanted to do to us that we just were oblivious to the fact. And God was our shield and our fortress and our protection, even though we didn't know about it. So that was just one of the tornadoes. Another tornado came in a little bit later and devastated a business that I worked at for a short period of time, wiped out just an entire region. There was another tornado that wiped out another area that was very close to us. Another tornado in that same town wiped out a church that has now been built into a bigger and even more effective church. So that was in a pretty short period of time, just lots of tornadoes. And so what the town did is they erected these tornado sirens throughout the community. And whenever there was a tornado warning that was activated, these sirens began to go off. They began to serve like these watchmen did. And it was a very, very loud, high-pitched scream. Now, a lot of times they would tell you, hey, at noon today, we're going to sound the alarm. We're just putting in a test process. So we make sure that it works whenever the critical emergency is at hand. And so I want to encourage you to have people in your life that are not going to give up on you, that are going to not hold their peace whenever there is a spiritual danger at hand, that you're not going to get mad at them. You know, I think it'd be a pretty dumb thing if there was a tornado that was coming through that community at 2 o'clock in the morning, and the person who was charged with activating the tornado sirens said, you know what, there are people asleep and in bed, and I'm not going to wake them up because I don't want to wake them and scare them in the middle of the night. It might not hit their house, so maybe I just won't push the button. That person would be fired from their job for dereliction of duty, for negligence. You say, why didn't you sound the alarm when you knew that? Let me serve as a watchman today to tell you, sin is not your friend. Sin intends on destroying you. It is a danger. It is a danger in its infantile status. It is even more dangerous in a mature status. And I'm here to sound the alarm today because God doesn't want you defeated by sin. He wants you triumphing over it through your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So he's looking for watchmen who will not hold their peace day or night. He goes on, and it says, you who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent. There are so many people in our society right now who know Jesus, but they are terrified to open their mouth and tell their friends about the goodness of God. Don't be a silent witness. Be a witness who is speaking, but your testimony and your lifestyle, they line up. I was told recently about a person who is constantly talking about God, but his lifestyle doesn't line up with it, and it's not even close. And people associate the message with the messenger, and as a result, they don't want to have anything to do with God. I want you to know it's not a good excuse. It's not going to change the reality when they stand before God, but that's something that we can do something about. We can make sure that we are serving as an adequate witness. And he says, "You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent, and give him no rest till he establishes, until he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth." What if our responsibility is to say, "God, you said that you were going to make Jerusalem a testimony of righteousness, a bright display of righteousness. Salvation was going to burn brightly there, and it was going to serve like a lighthouse to the nations, and kings would see your glory. And God, we're here as a watchman, not just to sound the alarm as to the threat of the enemy, but we are here to intercede on behalf of your people, and we are not going to stop. We are not going to be quiet. We want the churches, we want our community, we want our nation established. We want our city." That here it was specifically talking about Jerusalem, and we should pray for the peace of Jerusalem. But we also need to say, "God, I don't just want it to take place there. I want it to take place here. Establish it in my heart, in my life. May your throne be firmly established here. May my life, my home, be a praise in the earth. When people think about you, may they start praising the Lord for his goodness and his mercy." My wife, her birthday was not too long ago, and she doesn't do Facebook. She is one of the most active women that you could ever imagine. She literally gives her life for her job, her family, and her ministry. She is constantly on the go. If she's sitting there watching television, she's probably also working on a project. She worked on things for the Mother's Day luncheon that we had. She worked on that for a long, long time. And she worked on it to such a degree that when she showed what she was doing to her sisters, they said, "When do you find time to do that?" And they recognize that she doesn't realize much of the time just how frantic a pace she keeps. She says, "I don't have time for Facebook." Now that we have a grandchild and there's pictures that get posted on Facebook, you know, she may change that tune, because sometimes the pictures show up on Facebook that we don't necessarily see on our phones as much, and she wants to see as much of him as she can. But I posted on Facebook, it was her birthday. And I said, "My world and this world is a better place because of her." And that's what we should be praying for our church. That's what we should be praying for our community. God, we are so longing for you to establish your kingdom in our community in a manner that is going to result in the praises of God filling the earth. God, that our prayer is not just going to be gimme, gimme, gimme. God, it is going to be glorify your name in all the earth. God, move sovereignly by your Spirit. Holy Spirit, convict people of sin so that they can be forgiven. God, I pray that your kingdom, your churches would be established spiritually. I pray that our bodies would be established healthy physically, God. I pray that our marriages would be healthy relationally, God. That, Lord, baggage would be checked at the door. Lord, that every attempt that the enemy operates in trying to undermine the work of God in the ministry, God, that would come to pass, Lord, because he would not be able to undermine the foundation of God. I pray that you would let God establish you. You know, I've told you about the verse that God had given to me before coming to Merit Assembly of God, that the God of all glory will himself come and pick you up and place you where he wants you and cause you to be established and prosper after you have suffered a little while. I am thankful that God is the one who causes the establishment. I watched a little documentary. It was a brief documentary, a few minutes, about what introducing something that used to be part of an ecosystem back into that ecosystem did, and it radically restored the entire ecosystem. There were things that were being eroded, and it was completely reestablished because there was someone that was reintroduced into the ecosystem. I'm here to tell you, folks, if we want to see America established, if we want to see America be a pillar that God can use to bring praise to his name, we need to reintroduce the presence of God. And we need to quit trying to marginalize God and his word in our society. We need to say, God, you take the foremost. You take the preeminence. We want your word to be established. I read something recently about the founding of our education system. They said, we need the Bible to be the foundation of our education system, not for information's sake, but for morality's sake, because morality is more important than the knowledge. God bless you. May God establish you and make you a praiseworthy people. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Lord, I wish I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless. I long to move your heart, I bring you something new, I tell how great you are, I tell my praise to you.
It's like an ocean breeze blowing. Summer sun with a swarm embrace, like a gentle
sound fun.